Bible, and the title of my message today is called Lean Not. Everybody say Lean Not. And our scripture is a scripture that I learned when I was a very, very, very little girl, and I'm very appreciative to my parents. They had us watch this VHS tape when I was a little girl called the NIV Kids Club, and one of the songs was, they would just sing through the Bible, and this particular one was the Proverbs, and the last song on that VHS was Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. And when you're a kid and you are so used to hearing those words over and over, you can just be like, you know, whatever, it's a Bible verse, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It just becomes so, sometimes you take it for granted for what it means. And so I remember one time I was going through a tough time in my life and somebody was giving me good advice and the Bible was like, or they were like, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And at the time I was so just like upset that I was like, oh, I've heard that my whole life and right now it's not really helping me. And they were like, I know that you're used to hearing that, but you need to step back and look at what that scripture actually says. So I'm going to say it for you, and you probably all already know this, but it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And so the story that I'm going to tell today, you might look at and go, how does this have anything to do with leaning not on our own understanding? But I'm going to talk to you guys about the Israelites and their exodus from Egypt. And so I'm going to give you a quick backstory before we get into the meat of it. And a lot of us know this story. The Israelites were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. After the Lord had done something miraculous with Joseph and his brothers, the new Pharaoh forgot about that story, and he enslaved the Israelites for 400 years. So generations of Israelites had been in slavery, and the Lord sent Moses. He did not want to. He was scared. The Lord sent him anyway to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. And so many miraculous things happened from the time that Moses was called with a burning bush until they walked out through the Red Sea. And so some of the things that were happened was the plagues that happened in Egypt. There were 10 of them, and they were like crazy. All of the water turned to blood, gnats, fleas, dead livestock, boils, frogs, you know, you name it, it was nasty. Darkness covered everything, death of all of the firstborn. And miraculously, even though the Israelites lived in that realm, they were untouched by all of these things. So that alone is miraculous. God set them free. And then we go to Exodus 14:11. So Exodus 14:11, they are leaving out of Egypt, and they come to their first real hurdle. And now, mind you, like, it was all miraculous. Everything that they had experienced, they should not have been free, but they were, and they get to their first hurdle. And I love the way that this version says it. I don't know if it's the same. Yes, okay, so it's the same. And I love this because the way that I read this in my head, the Israelites, was it because there were no graves left in Egypt that you brought us out here to die? Like, instead of being like, this looks a little impossible. What are we going to do? They're like, oh, it's because all the land was filled up with all the other dead people. You brought us out here for spacious land to die. No prayer, nothing, just sarcasm and complaining. It's just funny to me. So they had just watched the Lord liberate them with 10 plagues. They were protected by it all. First obstacle. He protected us then to kill us now. That's what it was. And so what was the Lord's response? He tells Moses, stick your staff right in the water. Whoosh. The water separates. The Israelites cross through on dry land. It's not, and I didn't understand that as a kid. They're like, oh, they walk through on dry land. Of course, like, who's going to walk in the mud? But it's a sea. It's not like a puddle, and they just, like, splash. It was an entire sea, had been there for years and years and years. The water should have just, like, let them sink down underneath it. But they walked through on dry land. And then the Lord puts up a wall of fire to separate their enemies from them. And they cross through safely. And then after the water parts and the land is dry and the wall of fire is there, the Lord allows their enemy to charge forward and then whoosh, drowns all of them. Not to mention, prior to the water separating, he led them by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire to get to where they were. So the Lord is continuously like, oh, that wasn't big enough for you? Whoosh. Here's something for you to walk through. And so then they cross the Red Sea. 3 days pass. 3 days. And they can't find water. And in my mind, I'm like, why didn't you pack any? Like, you knew you were going to escape. Why didn't you pack any water? But they get to Exodus 15:24, and it says the people grumbled. So they had just experienced the miraculous again. So you've got the plagues, you've got the Red Sea parting, you've got the wall of fire, all of this. 3 days pass, and they start to grumble. They're like, we're going to die. We weren't going to die by the hands of the Egyptians. No, we weren't going to die by the plagues. We weren't going to die because we got swallowed up by water or whatever. But for sure, it's thirst we're going to die from, for sure. And I'm flabbergasted by the Israelites' response. And what's the Lord's response to them? Another miracle by having bitter water turned to sweet, by throwing a log in it. And the way that God does things just amazes me. Like, he couldn't have just said, by the way, I turned that sweet for you. Go test it. He said, throw this log out there. Sometimes the Lord wants us to just do a tiny act of faith to show that we trust him. He's not just going to, well, he will sometimes, but he's not just always going to be like, boof, done. He wants you, like Moses, he had to stick the staff in the water. There was always an act that preceded the miracle. The act of, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. This looks crazy, but I'm going to trust you. And then Exodus 16:3. So they, again, the miracles that they've witnessed, they get to Exodus 16:3, and they're hungry. And I'm also just floored at how the Israelites did not prepare anything. No water, no food, nothing. And so Exodus 16:3, if only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. And they moaned and they cried. And they were like, we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you've brought us into this wilderness to starve us to death. He did all of that. Why did he waste all of that time just to lead you out there and starve you? Why would God do all of this and then go, you know what? I'm tired. You guys can just eat some sand. When you lean on your own understanding, you start to say some really crazy stuff. You start to think some really crazy stuff about God. But what's the Lord's response? It's not what I would have said. I would have said, you know what? Never mind. Go back to Egypt. See how well that fares for you. The Lord provides fresh food, fresh bread, fresh meat daily. He even tells them, don't gather enough for multiple days. Just gather what you need for the day. I will cook you a fresh hot meal every day right outside your tent and make it easy for you. So that happens. Then Exodus 17 comes, and then they're thirsty again. So once again, why did you even bring us out of Egypt? Are you trying to kill us, our children, our livestock with thirst? And then Moses cries out to the Lord, what should I do with these people? I know Moses is like, I said yes, and I shouldn't have. I should have stayed with the sheep because they're so much easier than people. I understand why he struck the rock when he shouldn't have. But he does what God says, and I think this time he did strike the rock. The next time when he was supposed to strike or speak to it, he struck it. But I understand why he did that in anger. So, and then also in that same chapter, chapter 17, not only do they get fresh water, they come across the Amalekites, and which was, they should have been defeated by the Amalekites, but the Lord again performed a miracle. And every time that Moses' arms were raised in the air, they were winning. Whenever he lowered them, they were losing. So he had his friends raise his arms for him so that they could win. Again, miraculous. They should not have won. They should not have been where they were. They should have died a long time ago or continued to stay in slavery. And then after that, they go to Mount Sinai, and Moses has an encounter with the Lord. One of the most significant encounters in biblical history. He sees the back of God. And what are the Israelites doing? Leaning on their own understanding. They witness all of this insane miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Multiple instances where they should have died. They should have thirsted to death for their own lack of preparation. They should have starved to death. They should have been swallowed up by the sea. They should have drowned. They should have been defeated by the Amalekites. Miracle after miracle. And then their words are, their own words are, maybe we should make a God that can see us and hear us. Let's build a cow out of gold. And it will hear our cries, and it will answer our prayers. And so Moses comes down off the mountain, and he sees this cow, and they're like, yes, thank you, cow. I made you myself, but I thank you for that. Like, I know why Moses broke the Ten Commandments. I know why Moses was so angry. He was so tired of these crazy people. But when you lean on your own understanding, you do some crazy, crazy things. And we sit here and we criticize the Israelites so much, but we do the same things. It just looks a little different. We do the same things. We lean on our own understanding all the time. And when we do that, we turn to cows. Things that can't see us, hear us, know us, provide for us, protect us. We turn to things that pacify instead of solve the issue. When we lean on our own understanding, we do things like the obvious. We lean towards substance abuse. We lean through, especially for like the millennials and younger, mindless scrolling on social media to drown out the noise, which can kind of be like substance abuse. Just looks a little different. Mindlessly, if I don't have to think about it, it's not there. Overeating, unhealthy relationships, excessively watching TV or playing video games or other things, being a workaholic. Just because you're addicted to your work does not mean you don't have an addiction problem. You're just choosing something else to fill the hole. Obsessively worrying. It's not bragging rights to say that you obsessively worry about things. That is like, whoa, red flag. Like, you need help. And I'm not talking like preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. I will gladly, not gladly, because that's not something to be proud about, but I will like stand here and say, I have said that before. I'm a worry wart. Why would you say that? Don't say that about yourself. Anything that we turn to before God or more than God is a cow. Listen, I'm a fan of therapy for sure, but it is not my savior. I am thankful for doctors and medicine, for physical and mental health. God created them. God gave them a voice, but they're not my savior. They're not my healer. And I can't go to anything before God. That makes it an idol. Anything that I go to for peace that is not the Lord, I have made that a God. We have to come to a place of trust in the Lord and leaning not on our own understanding, or we will end up like the Israelites, circling until we learn the lesson. We have to. The Israelites didn't look back and go, oh, he did this, and he did that, and he did that. Surely there's a plan. Surely there's a reason. So how do we lean not on our own understanding? How do we do that? How do we not be like the Israelites and go, oh, was it because there were no graves over there? That's why you brought me here? How do we do that? The Bible says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. When we acknowledge and turn to him in times of pain and confusion, or recount what he's done in our own lives, just like the Israelites should have gone, okay, so we were in Egypt, and there were a ton of plagues, and they didn't even touch me, and they should have. My firstborn should be dead, and they're not. We walked through on dry ground, so I know he's got a reason to protect us, because he wouldn't do that and then lead me here and then kill me this way. That's just crazy. Recount what he's done in your life. And if at the moment you can't think of one good thing that he's done in your life, which he has, the fact that you're breathing is proof of that. But if you can't, open the Bible. Open his word. Look at this story. This alone is miraculous. Or Jesus in and of himself is proof that he can be trusted. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians to walk by faith and not by sight. So to acknowledge means to step forward, not because we can see the outcome or the result, but it means because you have faith in who he is and his character. And what it's been proven to be to you based on his history in your life and in the word. If the word says he is or he does, then he is and he does. His word is not, it is infallible, which means it cannot be wrong. Learning to acknowledge him in all of our ways is not easy. It takes discipline and it takes intention. It's easy to wallow in self-pity. That is why we do it. It feels good at the time to wallow in that pit and go, everybody feel sorry for me right now. Everybody's got to see what's going on. It's easy to do that. It feels comforting to get comfort from other people, which is not wrong, but we can't stay there. If the Israelites had stayed there, they would have died. Thankfully, they had somebody with some sense to look at God and go, hey, we need water, and God provided that. Walking by faith and not by sight is like my sight is showing me that this is a cliff. Forgive that person? Really? After what they said? Give this money, but what about this bill? Go to this place, but what? That's scary. And what about my kids? They don't know you. But you want me to just pray and trust you with them? That's scary. Half of the stuff that God did for the Israelites made zero sense. Throw a log into the water. What? Stick your staff into this sea. Okay. But when they did the ordinary and chose to go, my understanding says this is insane. The extraordinary happened. Our own understanding keeps us in a box, keeps God in a box for us, and goes, okay, this is my little teeny God, and he died for me, and that's good enough for me. There's so much more to him. there's so much more of a relationship for you to have with him than your daily thank you for dying. There's so much more than that. And if we continue to lean on our own understanding, then we'll just stay there of thanks for dying. Can't wait to see you one day. God doesn't promise us that our lives will make any sense at all. He never says that. He often says, you know, in this life you will have trouble. But take heart because I've overcome the world. Jeremiah 17:7 promises that those who trust in the Lord will be blessed. So trusting in him leads to the miraculous. Leaning not on our own understanding leads to the miraculous. Leaning on your own understanding could possibly maybe band-aid the problem for a little bit till you can move past it and just let the sore ooze. But leaning on his understanding looks crazy, but will heal it. And if we choose to trust him, we will walk into the promised land that he has already prepared for us. So what we're going to do is we're going to do one more song of worship. You can stand, you can sing. We'll have the lyrics on the screen for you. In River Kids, we like to call this our soaking time, where we just sit in the presence of the Lord. So normally they pick a spot around the room and they sit back, they take a deep breath. They're already getting ready. And they just talk to the Lord about what they just learned, about what they just heard. And they ask him for deeper understanding. And say, Lord, where in my life am I leaning on my own understanding? And let him show that to you. Something that I say to your kids every single week is there is nothing in your life more important than a relationship with Jesus. Nothing. There's not one thing that you can come to me and say, this is more important. Not your career, not your grades in school, not how many sports you do, not how smart you are, not how pretty you are, not how many followers you have on Instagram or YouTube or TikTok or whatever. None of that. None of it even comes close to being as important as a relationship with Jesus. The second most important thing in your life, also not your career, also not your grades, also not any of those other things I listed before. Second most important thing, telling other people about him. Those two. And the best way to steward your relationship with the Lord is to talk to him. You've never had a best friend you didn't talk to on a daily basis. And if you don't, then you're not knowing him as well as you could. So use this time. Something that I also say to the kids in River Kids is there's nothing better going on right now. Nobody else is in this room is doing anything else besides worshiping. You're not missing out on any fun. You're not missing out on any conversation. The best conversation in the room that's happening is the one between you and the Lord. So use this time wisely. There's never going to be a person in the history of the world who's going to stand before Jesus and go, I wish I had played one more game. I wish I'd had one more whatever. You're never going to stand before the Lord and say that. You're going to say, I wish I had spent more time with you. I wish I had gotten to know you better. I wish I had told more people about you. That's what you're going to say when you look at Jesus. So use the time that you're given wisely. Talk to the Lord. Let him talk to you because he's always talking.